You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet you all wherever you may be listening on the radio out in your car, at home, or on the internet, on your computer, wherever. We just greet you, welcome you in the love of the Lord. And we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And God gave the name of the church years ago. In fact, it'll be 23 years in January, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we're honored to be here with you. And we've been talking about a lot of things the last couple of weeks. And if you would like to get a copy even today of what we're discussing, all we ask for is a love offering. And make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. Haven't mentioned much about our book that I've had for so long, about God's prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah being revealed through God's appointed times. That's available for $25 plus $3 maybe for shipping and handling. And we'd be glad to mail that out to you as well. So we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And I get excited about what God's doing. We're in an incredible time of the year right now with the Jewish calendar and knowing the Jewish things in the Bible and the Hebrewism behind all of it. That should get us excited. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour and be blessed with this. And so Don and I co-pastor this church, and we have for quite a few years. And we've been on the radio for 18 plus years, haven't we, Pastor Donna? 18 plus years. It's hard to believe, but we're moving on. So we welcome you. We greet you in the love of the Lord, and we just say hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
And Donna's got some announcements to make. We'll do a little teaching here with you again today, as we always do.
Well, this calendar is, this calendar, this month's almost half over.
That's right.
Can you believe that, Pastor Gene?
That's right.
And, I don't know. I really don't know. These are really important times of the year. And because we're in the last feast of the year, and of course next week, this Sunday, mm-hmm. in the evening. Of course, we're talking about in the evening of our time, but Israel's time is it's either 6 or 7 hours before.
There's 6 hours ahead of us right now.
Right now, mm-hmm. And so we have the eve of trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, mm-hmm. will be on this coming Sunday on the 13th.
Right.
And actually, the new moon, from what I found out on the internet from Israel, the new moon, they say the time will be our time on September the 13th. It says at 9:41 a.m. So that would be Sunday morning. So actually, on that time, 9:41 would be approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our time. So we don't know. Rosh Hashanah, we know that's the time that we teach, and you all have been listening for a month or for a week or for years. Maybe if you're listening for a week, you don't know. But if you've been listening to us for years, and I know many of you have, that you know that we believe and we teach that the catching away, or what many people know as the rapture, will happen on one Rosh Hashanah, on one Feast of Trumpets. Right. And I think we need to talk about the trumpets, Pastor Gene, how many times the trumpets are blown and the different kinds of sounds they make.
Okay.
They make different, three different sounds.
That's right.
And, the very last one is the longest sound.
Long blast.
Right. And waking. It's at the end of the day.
Wake up call.
Yeah. Wake up call. Mm-hmm. But here we have these 2 days, the Feast of Trumpets. We don't know. Now they know exactly the time mm-hmm. of the new moon. Right. But, you know, in those days they didn't. So Rosh Hashanah is the only one that's considered one of 2 days. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know what Jesus said. He said we won't know the day or the hour. But the Bible also tells us that we should know the times and the seasons. So we're talking about times and seasons.
Amen.
Here. And so in this month of the month of Tishri, the Tishri will be starting. Sunday will be the last day of Elul. And many of you have been listening to some of the prophets, and they say that, you know, Elul 29, things could happen the next day when the banking's on Monday.
The end of the Shemitah.
Things could happen. It's going to be the end of the Shemitah.
Yeah.
And it will be the year of the super.
The super moon, huh?
Super. Well, if this is a 50 year.
The Jubilee.
The Jubilee, it will be like the 49 plus 1 would be the super one, right?
That's right.
So this
they call the
year,
moon. This blood moon's going to be called the super moon too, isn't it?
Blood
on the first
moon.
Of Tabernacles.
The blood moon, that's right. The blood moon will be on the 15th.
Yep.
But, you know, if the catching away happens, we won't be here to see that. We'll see it from heaven.
Yeah, we'll see
those
it from glory,
those
right?
Those who are caught away, those who are are caught away, because Jesus says he's going to come and meet us in the clouds. So he's going to meet us in the clouds. And he's not going to put his feet down, but he's going to meet believers in the clouds, those who have died and those who are still alive, on a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe it's on the Feast of Trumpets, or some people call it Rosh Hashanah, and the church calls it the catching away or the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the most popular word, is the rapture. So, the rapture is going to catch a lot of people away. And, of course, the world's going to think that, the bad people were taken away, right?
That's what they'll think, yeah.
Yes, that's what we'll think. And we have a lot of things to share with you about this month. But I'm going to give our telephone number before we start sharing, because a lot of things are going to happen this month, this week, and next week, and the following week. So if we're here to see all these things, we can expect that things are going to change in the world. Things are changing in the world daily. In fact, I think
that's
right. Happening, you know, hourly, momently,
moment
by moment. There's always, you hear something that's changing, something new. But I want to give our phone number. If you have a pen and pencil, it's area code 772. 285-7007, and I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And we have church services, or we meet with God every week on Sunday. Tomorrow we'll be have service at 10 a.m. So if you'd like to come, we're in Stuart, Florida. We're right on Cantor Highway, exit 101. Amen. And we're right there in the Monterey Plaza. You can call that number to get directions. And we also have this afternoon, Pastor Gene is going to be doing some more extensive teaching on these times that we're in right now, Rosh Hashanah. And
part two we're going to do this week.
Part two, and you know, the things that actually we know we can learn a lot just by the marriage supper.
That's right.
And he may touch on some of that too, because there's several... Oh, I don't know, 10, 14, a lot of people say 10, 12, 14 different aspects.
Yeah, I took the 12 main
12
aspects.
Of the marriage.
Tells the whole purpose for Christ coming all the way up to the end.
We're talking about a Jewish marriage.
Marriage supper.
Right, marriage supper. So it relates to what? The marriage supper of the Lamb.
Okay,
and that's
sure.
What we'll be at. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's we meet this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And we'll have a teaching, and then at 6 o'clock we will have a meal, and we will close the Shabbat out this evening, just before it gets dark. Well, you say, why are you doing that? Are you a Christian church? Yes, we're a Christian church. Yes, we are a full gospel church. Yes,
amen.
We believe the gifts of the Spirit.
We believe everything in the Bible for us
yes,
today.
Yes, we believe the whole Bible, and yes, we read the King James Bible, and yes, we're excited about the things of God. And yes, we are a prophetic church. And so we believe in prophecy, and we believe in healing. And we will be leaving laying on hands. You know, whatever you can read in the Bible that Jesus did and Paul taught, we believe it. Amen.
Amen.
And so you have to have faith and you have to believe. You know, if you're sick and you need healing, you got to believe for your healing, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So we're going to be talking about these things. And I will mention also that we do have services on Friday. If we happen to be, I'll be here next Friday.
Yeah.
We have services on Friday like we did last night. We have a service on Friday at 7 p.m. But, you know, we don't do these things legalistically. We just honor the Sabbath because God gave us a prophetic word to honor the Sabbath.
That's
so
right.
It's not that we're moving into legalism and trying to keep the law. You know, they couldn't keep the law in the Old Testament. And it's the law of the Spirit now.
Amen.
It's written on our hearts. It's the Holy Ghost in us that's written on our hearts that guides us into all truth. So, you know, so we come together on Friday and it's just an awesome time that we honor that time, and we take communion, and we have a little teaching, and we spend some time, I like to call it soaking. Some people don't know what that word might mean, but if you go soak a piece of bread, it's going to get all gushy and wet and watery.
Right.
And so God wants us to be all gushy and wet, and he wants to fill us with the Holy Ghost. And
it only comes,
you know,
by his presence, yeah.
And people say, oh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost back in 1990.
Whatever.
The Bible says that we need to be continually being filled. Continually being filled and be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you. He says, the Father, you know, he went back to heaven. He said he had to go back to heaven, right? And so, but he said that the Father and him would send the Holy Ghost. And we would receive the Holy Ghost, and he instructed them, even on another high holy day, Pentecost,
yeah,
to wait and tarry in Jerusalem till they were endued. What does endued mean, Pastor Gene?
Just infused with power from on high. Yeah.
Like that soaking, right?
That's right.
It's soaked with water, filled.
That's right.
So they had to wait, and then we don't have to wait now. You can get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, get baptized in water. You know, baptism in water doesn't save you, but being filled with the Holy Ghost and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. It says you must be born again.
That's right.
We must be born again.
There's no other way.
That's right. So if this is a time of the year that the catching away will happen, we won't know the day or the hour because it's within a matter of, 48 hours.
Yeah, one of those 2 days.
48 hours, one of 2 days, and it's on a new moon. And the Feast of Trumpets is the only feast that comes on a new moon.
That's right.
So you kind of have to fit the puzzle together.
Amen.
And then you can begin to see the whole picture. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And then, you know, if we're still here and you see us next week on the radio, then we got the Day of Atonement coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the 23rd. And, of course, we'll be touching on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Pope is going to be with the President on the 23rd, on the Day of Atonement.
That's right.
I don't think that's a coincidence. And what are they going to talk about? And what announcements are they going to make? And what changes are they going to make? And what agreements? You know what? When you agree, and I'm not going to say too much more. I think if you've been listening to us, you kind of have an idea. When you're going to have the Pope and the President of the United States coming together in the White House, and then the Pope is going to speak on the 24th and the 25th, and the last day he'll be speaking at the United Nations. And then the following week, we start the Feast of Tabernacles, which we will talk about at a later time.
There'll be a blood moon on that first day.
A blood moon. And
Israel will get to see all. It'll be clear, real clear to them.
And this is the last of the four blood moons.
That's right.
That have been on, two of them on Passover and two of them on the Feast of Trumpets, and both on the first day of each feast.
Trumpets, Tabernacles.
Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. Amen. I got trumpets on my mind.
That's right.
So let's talk about those trumpets, Pastor Gene. What is a trumpet, first? What is a trumpet?
It's a shofar.
So it's a ram's horn, and so it's not too big, but there are some really long ones.
That's called the Yemenite shofar.
That's the twisted one. We have both kinds in our church.
And we have a regular ram's horn.
We have both of them, but they blow these ram's horns, or you will see them blow these big long shofars. You know, some of them are 3 feet long, and they're curled and twisted. Mm-hmm. So they blow these shofars, and they call them trumpets, and this happens on
Tishri 1. Feast of Trumpets.
And what does it mean?
Well, let's think about it. On that day, you talked about the sounds that are blown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A person's
different
chosen.
Sounds.
at 9 o'clock, they blow this 33 times at a specific sound. Then at noon, they do another 33. And then at 3 in the afternoon, between the two evenings, they do another 33, which makes 99. At the close of the day, they have a huge shofar. And I understand from some of the things in Jewish writings that when they blew that in Jerusalem, in Jesus' day, you could hear it all over. And they blew it louder and louder and louder. And it was called the Awakening Blast. And so that's what those trumpets are all about. It's referring to resurrection. You read all the Jewish writings in the Mishnah and the Talmud and all that. They believe that trumpets is referring to resurrection. And so that's what we got to look forward to. Amen. And so, you know, we talk about the things I hear on the radio, like in the First Covenant. Well, we wonder how we kind of fit in with all this. But think about it. God's speaking to Israel through all of us. His plan and his purpose was what? To keep them from drifting away from God. And so they honored the Feast of Trumpets every year. It was a call for them to come back, okay? And so we think about this, and so his purpose is he doesn't want a single one of them to have to go through Jacob's trouble. Well, how will they escape going through Jacob's trouble? There's only one way. They have to accept God's Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah that came for them. He came the first time, and he's going to come back again. And so that's the purpose. And so we talk about all the patterns in the First Covenant showing us about what God's wanting to do with us. And so he's trying to draw Israel into that place and have them to come to his Son. Well, we know the Bible tells us that two-thirds of them in that day, in Zechariah, two-thirds of them are going to be destroyed. But see, we'd like to have all of them, but the Bible says it's not going to happen, so it probably won't happen. But our important time now, we're almost done with Teshuvah. They're right now, they're inspecting themselves every single day. And now they're getting ready to come into the last 10 days of time called Teshuvah, from Tishri 1 to the Day of Atonement. These are called the Days of Awe because they know one day in the future, at the last year of Jacob's trouble, there's going to be those last 10 days of awe. And what's it all about? God's trying to show them to come to the Messiah. And so we talked about this last week. And so on Rosh Hashanah, the trumpets are blown, calling them to come, okay? Well, what do they say to one another on that particular day? They say, may you be written in the book of life. Well, the key thing is this, that book of life has to be the Lamb's book of life, not just any other book, has to be the Lamb's book of life. Well, then during those 10 days, they say to each other, they greet each other every day and say, may you be sealed until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is what? The day of judgment. They know that. And so God's given them this thought, so they'll understand this, that they need to get right with God. So they take this time, and it's called Teshuvah. It's a return, come back. But how can they come back if they've never known the Messiah? They can't. But so God's wanted to open their eyes to see what he wants them to know. So they have this time set aside for 40 days from Elul 1, the sixth month of the prophetic calendar, and it ends on Tishri 10, which is on the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. It's a period of what? 40 days.
So to be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, you must be
born again.
Yep. You must ask Jesus into your heart.
That's right. And turn your life over to
him. Believe with your heart.
That's right.
And then, you know, you're born again. And then, so that long blast, that's saying what? Come up here, right?
That's right.
And Jesus has said, and the Bible says he's going to return as he left, right?
That's right.
The angels told them. They're watching him go up when he went up and he disappeared in the clouds. And so they said, you know, will you stand here watching, you know?
That's right.
He's going to return. He's going to come back. So he's going to come back, and he's going to meet us in the air.
That's right.
And that's going to be before the Great Tribulation.
I believe that with all my heart,
As soon as that happens, then the tribulation will begin immediately. Mm-hmm. Just like these feasts of the Lord are all together within 2 weeks of each other. Mm-hmm. So it will begin immediately, right?
Right. And or almost. So, not quite, but almost.
Well, within a week or so.
Well, within 10 days.
And so that's when the tribulation will begin. And boy, things are going to get rough on
you. That's right. They really are. They're getting incredibly rough. That's right. So one day that there'll be that catching away and a resurrection will come. And then they go 10 days out to the Day of Atonement. Mm-hmm. So between those 10 days, somehow, this peace treaty has to be signed. And it shows there then that the Day of Atonement will start the beginning of Jacob's trouble, because the Bible says that Jacob's trouble will last for what? 2,520 days. So if you go from the Day of Atonement at the beginning of Jacob's trouble to the last Day of Trumpets at the end, is 2,520 days. So if it starts on that day, it's going to end on that day at the end. It's incredible. And so they're going to rehearse this every day or every year for those 7 years. They'll be rehearsing the things we're talking about.
So they're revving up, I believe, with the president and the pope. They're revving up for this one world order.
That's right.
They want to have a one world money system, one world order.
That's right.
And it's going to be the United Nations speaking about it.
Yeah.
It has to do with this green movement. It has
That's
to
right.
do with Agenda 21. It has to do with all these Jade Helm. It has to do with all these things coming together. See, they're all coming together. When something seems to be coming together, you can recognize that, you know, the time is close.
It's going to come to a focal point. Yeah.
The time is close. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that this meeting that's going to happen, wouldn't you like to be in there listening?
Wouldn't you like to be a mouse on the wall?
Well, you know, excuse me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the prophet many times knew what was going on.
Absolutely. The Bible shows that, yeah.
They knew what was going on in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are a lot of different opinions and a lot of different things. And yeah, I haven't got an exact word on the Lord or whether he's coming back this weekend or not. But
I haven't either.
But
it
could happen. And, you know, I don't think God really, he wants us to be ready.
All the time.
All the time ready. Whether we take our last breath, you know, while you're having breakfast. I've talked to a lot of people, you know, their father just passed away right
That's
after
right.
breakfast.
And go to the grave, right.
Or you go to sleep and
That's
you don't
right.
wake up.
You wake up.
You know, we need to be ready at all times.
Amen.
All times. And so I don't think God's going to tell us exactly which day, but he certainly does tell us the times and the seasons.
That's right.
So we know that we are in this time and season. So we should always be looking. We should always be looking up because he says he's coming back for those who are
looking for him to
looking
come back.
For him. You know, a lot of people in the world and a lot of people who say they're Christians, they're Christian by, I don't know, name.
By thought instead of
by
heart.
Thought.
Yeah.
But is their heart really for the kingdom?
That's
would they,
right.
Would they really rather be in heaven? Would they really rather be with Jesus, or would they really rather be out doing something that they like to do?
That's right. We had a lady in our church years ago. Remember, she said, "Oh Lord, I don't want the Lord to come back this year. Her child was small. I want my son to go to college. What is it more important to go to college than to be in glory in heaven? There's no comparison.
I'd rather have my son in college in heaven. You know, you're going to work. You're going to continue to
That's
to
right.
learn.
Yeah.
You imagine the things we're going to learn up there. I mean,
That's right. For 7 years.
You know, any topic you're interested in. You're
yeah.
interested in the space. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's a lot that you talk about the teaching you about this, how God created the stars. You might have a question. Well, how do the stars sing? Well, the Bible says the stars sing. I mean, do they
That's
must
what it
have
says.
They must
Psalm
sing.
29
they must
or 19.
All have, they must
19,
all have a song,
yeah.
a certain tune, you know,
yeah.
and how the music and everything is in heaven. There's so many things that we're going to learn. We're going to learn about in heaven, greater topics that you could ever learn about. In,
That's right.
You know, what's an engineer? How did you engineer all this, God? You want to be an engineer?
By his word. Hey.
How did you, you know, I want to learn. I want to be an engineer. I want to see how circuits work. Wow. You want to know how God's circuits work?
That's right.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Right. His creation is incredible.
Creation.
But you think about this, even what God put in the world, we've been talking about this calendar and how, you know, remember, Yeshua has to fulfill both these calendars in the Bible. He has to fulfill them. And we've talked about this a little bit. We might just touch on it again. You know, the civil calendar, which I call it, it started in the month of Tishrei, the month we're getting ready to come into. And it goes around, you know, all year, goes through all the appointed times, comes back, and so it's called the new year. Well, that was the first month on the civil calendar, but God did something very special. In Exodus chapter 12, he changed the number on the months. So Tishrei, which was the seventh month on the civil, I mean the first month, I should say, on the civil calendar, became the seventh month on what? The God's prophetic calendar. Well, then what happened in the spring? When they came out of Egypt, when was that? That was during, just before God was establishing what? The Passover season, okay? And, well, the Bible calls it the month of Aviv or Abib, okay? Well, that was the seventh month on the civil calendar. God told them over there in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, he says, this is going to be the beginning of your month. So what's he showing here? He's showing a new birth. He was birthing something new in them if they could just receive that. And that's the purpose, what he was trying to show them. That's why would he change the calendar for any other reason? He was going to show them he had a new birth for them. And so it's important that we understand that. And if we don't, then we read the Bible, we get mixed up with a lot of things about the dates and all that. I was reading today over in Joshua over there when Joshua brought them across the Jordan River. And you know, the river was overflowing at that time. And God parted the Jordan just like he did the Red Sea. And they came over on the other side. And they went to a little town called Gilgal. But it says there, when they crossed over, it was on the first month, the 10th day of the month. Well, what does that tell you? What is that? It's the month of Nisan, okay, and it was the 10th day of that month. It was the 10th of Nisan. That's when they laid up the lamb.
That's right. And that's Exodus chapter. Jesus walked
so it's all,
into
the patterns. Are, the patterns are all through there for us to understand this. And so there's a lot of patterns all through the first covenant to show us about this thing called the day of hiding. God wants to hide his people from all this terrible time that's going to come upon the earth. But the only way we can escape that is how? To know the Messiah.
That's right. So Abib is now called Nisan.
Yeah, after the captivity of 70 years, then they
changed
to Nisan.
Is the beginning of the spiritual year.
That's it.
And so that's like a born-again moon year.
That's right.
Born-again year. So Nisan, and so you said the 10th, it was also was when Jesus rode into Jerusalem.
Nisan 10.
On Nisan 10, and they declared him.
To be the Messiah.
To be the Messiah.
They cried out.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Some people did,
right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yes, they believed. Save mm-hmm. us now. You know, that's what that means, save us. So, and so here we are. Now we're, now, but Tishri is the, actually.
In the fall.
In the fall. I mean, it's the first month of the.
Civil calendar.
Civil calendar, which has to do with crops.
Now it's the seventh month on the prophetic calendar.
Now it's the seventh month
right.
on the prophetic calendar.
That's right.
So praise the Lord. We got that down pat.
We need to understand that. It's important to understand what God's trying to show us with that, just by changing the calendar. And we read over there, we talked about this last week in Joel chapter 2, where it says God's going to give us what? The former rain, what?
Moderately.
And then he says, then I'm going to give you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And we talked about that last week. How can you have the former and the latter, which are opposite ends of the year, in the first month? It's about the calendar. That's what got me looking at this years ago. And
well,
so
you know,
think about it. Let me finish this real quick. When Yeshua came to this earth, born of a woman and all that, and he started his ministry at 30 and all that, well, you know, he completely fulfilled prophetically the former rain. Passover. First fruits, unleavened bread, and the Feast of Weeks. He fulfilled all that, so he's not going to do that. But now he has to fulfill what? The civil calendar, which is in the latter part of the year, which we're coming into right now. That has to be fulfilled at all, which is what? Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those have to be fulfilled in his life. The first group has already been taken care of. It was called the former rain, and it was. But it says it came out moderately. Well, think what's going to happen at the end. He's going to give us a, whoo, there's going to be a double portion poured out mm-hmm. this time, I believe, mm-hmm. just before this all happens.
Well, you know, it's also believed that that God created, it was the birthday of the earth was Tishri.
That's what the Jewish people, Tishri 1. Yeah.
Tishri 1. And so, and then, you know, the people lived and they were wicked and many of them, you know, we know the story about Noah and all that. But, you know, when Moses came along, God had a new plan.
Absolutely.
God had a new plan for his people. He was going to deliver them.
New beginning.
A new beginning. And so that happened during the new spiritual year of Nisan, the prophetic calendar.
Yep.
And then when Yeshua came, what I'm trying to get to is God's going to come back and complete the whole calendar.
He sure will.
See, right now it's like halfway through.
That's right. Not quite done yet.
Right. It's not quite done. So we know that Yeshua was born on the Feast of Tabernacles or in this time of Tishri. And but he went into Jerusalem during Nisan, and he fulfilled, his death and resurrection during the month of Nisan,
right?
Which was he fulfilled Passover,
sure
and
did.
He fulfilled the pouring out of the Holy Ghost, and he fulfilled
all four of them were fulfilled.
All of those were fulfilled
in his life,
right? And so now we've gone halfway around the circle. If you're going to look at it as a circle, you know,
right.
divided into 12 sections, and we've gone halfway around. Now God's going to complete the whole circle. God doesn't leave something half done. You know, he's going to complete the whole
Hallelujah.
Circle.
That's right.
And bring this all to a close.
That's right.
Bring this all to a close. And it's going to happen in this month of Tishri.
That's the plan.
1 year.
That's right. And so he's going to fulfill. He has to fulfill both of those to be our Messiah.
He has to fulfill.
Now, there's a couple of things. Partly he's fulfilled about tabernacles, but not everything. You can prove in the Bible he started his ministry during tabernacles, okay? And we know he was born during tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
But the fulfillment of the tabernacles is a picture of what? Of the kingdom of God. And so that has not been set in place yet, but it's coming. And so they're all important to look at this. And I think, you know, trumpets are one of the most important ones because it's going to be resurrection.
And the seven years that we'll be in heaven during this tribulation time here on the earth. Because, you know, during this tribulation, there's still going to be Jews here.
That's right.
I mean, there's still going to be Gentiles here. The nations are still going to be here.
You got
it. You know, in each year, there's going to be a Tishri, you know, with these three feasts. There's going to be seven of them. Right, and so, but those 7 years, whoever's caught away at this Rosh Hashanah, at this time of the year. We will be in heaven for 7 years.
That's right.
And then we will, at the end of those 7 years, we will come back. And God's going to set up a kingdom here on this earth, on this planet. He's going to cleanse this planet.
That's right.
He's going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. And he will rule from Jerusalem. And
with a rod of iron.
And David will be on his throne.
That's right.
And praise God. So, you know, we are coming down. You know, a lot of people don't believe this, Pastor Gene. A lot of people don't believe there's going to be a catching away. A lot of people don't believe there's going to be a catching away or a rapture. They don't believe that Jesus is coming back. They don't believe. They don't believe that. Or they're believing in a false Jesus. They're believing in a Mahdi.
Yeah, from Muslims,
you know, and we have different religions coming together and saying they're going to be one.
Right. Here impossible.
Impossible. Yeah. Here we have it's the same God, just a different name. No, it's not the same God. And there's only one God, and he only has one name. You know, well, he does have several different names he goes by in the Bible, but he's not Allah. You know, he's not a different name.
His main name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
You can't bring Chrislam. You can't have Muslims and Christians worshiping together and think they're worshiping the same God, because they're not.
That's right.
Jesus is the only Messiah. He's the only one who came and gave his life. He's the only Son of God who came, begotten of the Father, came and gave his life that we might have life forever, life everlasting.
His blood is what brings the forgiveness.
And it's his blood that cleanses us from all
sin. No rituals or anything, but blood.
Right. And if we don't get back to the cross,
right,
and the power of the cross, well, you say there's no power in the cross. There is power in the cross, because Yeshua, Jesus, paid the price, and he hung on that cross, an innocent person, innocent man.
That's right.
Innocent, the Son of God, the Son of God, innocent.
Day.
No sin in him. Sin was placed on him. And, you know, and God allowed his only begotten Son, and he gives us a picture of it, even with Abraham and Isaac, of what he was going to do. You know, was Abraham willing? I can just think about God. God, am I willing to give my only begotten Son? Well, he says, well, I'm going to test Abraham. Let's see if Abraham is willing to give his son.
Yeah, the one he loved so much.
And God does, he does try us, and he does gives us tests. And, you know, and so Abraham was willing to do that. And, you know, he even carried the wood. He says, you know, where is the sacrifice, you know. Isaac even carried the wood, which is the cross. What did Jesus carry?
That's right, the
he
wood.
He carried the wood. He carried the cross that he himself was hung on. Well, Abraham was willing. And, of course, we know that God, the angel, stopped him. But, you know, I think then God's saying, well, you know, Abraham's willing to give his only son. I will give my only son for whosoever would believe.
But see, Abraham had to believe, and he believed, he had faith, because God promised him before about the sand of the sea and as many stars that was going to come out of his loins of peoples and kingdoms that were going to come.
He had faith.
So he believed what God said. So he knew if he took his son's life, that God would have to bring him back to life again.
So he believed in the resurrection.
That's
because
right.
He believed, because he was promised the seed.
That's
and the
right.
seed was only going to come through his son.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
through
right.
that one son, the right son, not the wrong son. And so, but the other son does have many, 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 many thousands of millions of children. But only his son, Isaac, would be the only one that would bring forth
son.
The promised seed.
That's right.
Which would be Yeshua.
The promised seed is exactly
Thank you,
it.
Father God. So, you know, God said, you know, look at Abraham. Wow. You know, I can just see him. You know, I can see when God looks there. Wow, look at that. Look at him. He's so faithful, you know. Or he might say, you know, I think about my granddaughter. I just love her so much. And my grandson, too, my other grandchildren. But I see the accomplishments, and I see the things she does. And I says, wow, look at her, you know. She's just a blessing. She's such a blessing. And I imagine God looking down saying, you know, look at Abraham. Wow, you know, I've got a plan, and he fulfilled the plan, didn't he?
That's right.
God had the plan right from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's right from the very beginning.
Look at this.
He's fulfilled it.
Well, you're talking about
Go
Abraham.
Ahead.
You know, when the angel stopped Abraham and he didn't kill Isaac, he looked up and there was a ram in a thicket.
That's it.
Not a lamb, because a lamb was going to come
That's
in the future.
It.
And the thicket, I believe with all my heart, is a picture of sin that was going to come in a great way. Well, Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 56. Look what this says. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
That's right.
And he saw it and was glad. So he got a glimpse into the future. And so he trusted God. And then you read on down in chapter 22 when he did that. God says, he says, because you believed me and trusted me, I'm imputing my righteousness to you from this day forward. So it's imputed. We come to Jesus. What's happened? We're not becoming righteous. We are made righteous as soon as we come. And so what? So we have his righteousness, not our own, because we do it by faith. We believe in God the Father through Jesus Christ, and he's our Savior.
And we could go on and talk about that ram's horn.
Oh, yeah.
That ram had two horns, right?
That's right.
He had two horns. And this was before Moses. So you know, God blew a horn from heaven, didn't he?
That's right. He sounded
from heaven. It was a sound, loud sound as a trumpet.
Yeah.
And, you know, and those ram's horns, the Jewish people believe that, you know, they didn't burn up those ram's horns. No, they removed them from the animal.
Right.
And they didn't burn them up. And so they believe that one of them... he capped, and I guess they believe that, you know, God had the other one.
He believed that the one was blown at Mount Sinai,
and the other one
was going to be the last trumpet Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15.
So we're right back here to trumpets again.
That's right.
We're right back here to the last trump, and trumpets are being blown.
That's right.
100 trumpets will be blown
during one day.
Mm-hmm. During one day, and they all have a different meaning. You know, one is a wake up. You know, one is a call. One is a cry. You know, to cry unto the Lord. And, you know, Brother Bill blows the trumpets, and he blows all these sounds, and he explains them at our services. So if you ever want to come, or if you're close by and you want to come, and you can hear him blow this ram horn and hear the different sounds, and he will explain to you exactly what each sound, what it means. And so it's important. These trumpets are very important. And why 99? I've been... The Lord doesn't come back. The Lord's been showing me things about nine.
Mm-hmm.
Nine. I was thinking about nine. And right now it's just kind of building in my spirit that there's something deeper about the number nine that I don't understand. But, you know, 99 times.
And then the awakening blast at the end.
Then one awakening blast.
That's it.
All three of the others have a certain message.
That's right.
The trumpet has a
message.
They're
warnings, yeah.
The trumpet has a message.
Like harbinger.
That's right. That's...
Well, anyway, you know, thinking about this, Paul even alluded to this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. This is referring to trumpets. Listen to this. But he's doing it in a spiritual sense for people to be drawn to the Lord. He says, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Well, we know sleep is what, in the Bible, is referring to what? To death. He's talking about people that are dead spiritually. He says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Listen to this. And Christ shall give thee light. So he's using that as, you know, as an example from that word right there, referring to what trumpets is all about, because we're going to rise from the dead on that particular day. And Donna mentioned a while ago, you know, the Bible tells us the Jews couldn't keep the Torah. We know that. That's why Jesus came and he took the curse. The curse wasn't the Torah. It was what? Not being able to keep it. And so we know that he came for that purpose. And so Paul mentioned in one of his letters, he said that the letter of the law, the Torah, can kill you. Amen? But he says what? The spirit of it brings life. And so this book I have before me, this is the Logos, written word of God, but there's rhema words that come off of this for us to walk a life with him. And that's what the Torah is all about. It didn't bring salvation. It showed us when we followed God and walked with God, like we with Yeshua now, it teaches us how to walk a holy life. That's what it's all about. So
because the Spirit of God brings the book, the words that are written on this paper, to the heart.
That's it.
So the Spirit of God is written on
our
heart.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not something you can erase.
Nope.
You can't erase it.
Sustain on us.
You can't forget it.
Yeah.
Because he said the Holy Ghost would bring all these things to our remembrance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you might try to think of something, but when the Holy Spirit leads you or guides you or gives you a scripture, it's already written in your heart, you know, and it can't be erased. And so God brings those things to your remembrance or to your so your mind and your soul can work together with your heart.
That's right.
They have to work together. Because I can say, well, you know, I know the scripture, but I'm going to have to go look it up in the Bible because I don't remember where I don't remember the address. I don't remember what book it's in. So then there's a way to go and find it easily nowadays. But you know, when it's written in your heart, it's always there. It's not something written on paper. It's not a document on paper. It's got to be in the person's heart.
Amen.
And the only way it gets there is when you get born again.
That's right.
And so what? So that you're talking about the law of God, which is
Torah.
The Torah,
mm-hmm.
The words of God, the instruction of God, the words of Jesus. They're written in our heart.
Absolutely.
And so it's the spirit of our heart. And so that's where It's that. And so, you know, we can follow the Spirit of the Lord, because if we listen, if we line up, if our mind and our soul, if we line up with the Spirit of God that's written in our heart, then we can keep the things of the Lord.
That's right.
We can obey God. We can do what God has called us to do.
As we're led by the Spirit, we
because
can do
that's
that.
Right.
That's
and
right.
And talks about so much about being led by the Spirit, not being led mm-hmm. by your thoughts or your mind or your feelings. So, you know, a lot of people are just led by, they're not even led by their mind. They're just led by how they feel.
That's
the worst way to be
that's
led
right.
because, especially if you're going to fall in love with somebody and, oh, he looks so good, or oh, she looks so good. And that's not being led by your heart.
That's
being
right.
led by your eyes and your eye gate and your ear gate and your all these different gates that we have can get us in a lot of trouble.
That's right. So we, that's right. So we need to be fruit inspectors. When we're thinking about marrying somebody, we better make sure we know who they are. Is this the one that God wants us to marry?
We got to wait.
We got to wait. Can't be in a hurry.
So
can't jump
in
a bandwagon.
Oh, I can't wait. Yes, with God's help,
some of them,
we can wait.
Some think they're jumping into water with somebody they're going to get married with, but they're really jumping into a fire maybe.
They're
jumping
into trouble.
That's right. And so
that's
we have to keep that all in mind.
Oh.
But we have the Word, and we're so honored to know all this, and so God's given this. And so come today at 4 o'clock. I'm going to do the second part about trumpets, and I covered quite a bit last week. But there's some other things we need to talk about, and I'm going to show all the patterns in the first covenant that all allude to this day. It's called the Day of Hiding. God wants to hide his people away. We talk about the moon all the time. You know, when the moon closes and it becomes dark, it's hid for how long? Almost 3 days, two and a half days or a little bit more, and then it comes back out again. Jesus died, was put in a tomb. He was hid for what? Almost 3 days? Or it was 3 days, and then he came back out again. So there's a pattern here that God's wanting to show us about. God wants us to be hid in that day of terribleness on the earth. And, you know, we read in 1 Thessalonians
chapter
5.
Where's he going to hide us?
In a heavenly chamber.
In
that's
heaven.
Right. And so you read over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says that God has not appointed us to God's wrath. And think about it, Jacob's trouble is going to be God's wrath. It's not going to come from man. Man, 21 judgments is going to come from God alone. Well, I don't want to be here when all that happens. And so you ought to feel the same way. So it premises on us what? To come to Christ, to be born again from above, and to walk with him. Not just to have a head knowledge and go about and live like you did before and go the place you did and talk the way you did and all that. No, it's a change of life. When I got born again, my whole life changed. I thought it a different way. Everything looked different to me when that happened. And so you have to have a true experience with God. And the only way you can have that is to be born from above. That's what it means to be born again. You're born from above. And Jesus made that quite clear. He says, but unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't know anything, see anything about the kingdom of God at all mm-hmm. unless you're born mm-hmm. again. So that's the premise to all this. And so God's purpose, even Jesus talked in Luke 21 over there. He told the people what? To pray that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Well, what makes you worthy to escape all these things? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah.
Jesus
He's
Christ.
The one. He's the one that we've been counted worthy with. No, there's no other way. You can't do it on your own way, like we talk about people getting born again. You know, I can't give somebody else the anointing that I have when I got born again. Each one has to take the anointing that God has with them, and they have to choose to serve the Lord. Amen.
It's His name.
It's His
name.
Who
are you going to bow down to? Right?
That's right.
Who are you going to bow down to?
And you can't receive it from I can't receive it from my mom and dad. I can't receive it from my pastor.
Mm-mm.
I can't receive it from anybody except from Yeshua HaMashiach, from the Spirit of God and our Lord. That's the only way that we can walk in this place, and we have no concern whatsoever, because we know one day, we got so many scriptures that reveal this, and a lot of it's some hidden mysteries in here. But you know, the disciples were told, Jesus told them, you've been given the privilege to know the mysteries of God. We're born again so we can know the mysteries of God. And these things we talk about in this class is not forbidden knowledge that we've heard about for years. Well, you can't know that. You can't. Yeah, you can. It's right here in the book, and we prove it in the class.
Well,
so come and be
people,
a part of it.
You know, so many people are wrapped up in themselves and wrapped up in the world and wrapped up in what they're doing. You
That's
know,
right.
They're, whatever it might be, their business, their school, their children, their family, wrapped up in themselves. It's all self. And, you know, and we're wrapped up in all the wickedness of the world. You know, people say, well, it's hell now. Well, it's hell because the devil
right.
is operating through people and causing these riots and these deaths and killing innocent children and the things that are happening throughout the world. I mean, with beheadings and all these things. The devil there's stronger powers of the devil, I believe, that have been released in these last days, even now before the catching away, because the Bible talks about the wickedness and the things that will happen. It will be like the times of Noah.
That's right, Lot.
And Lot. Mm-hmm. So these things in Sodom and Gomorrah, these things are coming together now, you know, about the marriage, about what happened with this Kim Davis, about all these things. Well, sure, she sinned. And everybody's saying, well, she was married three times. She had a child out of what, I don't know, what are others saying?
She didn't marry a woman, though, did she?
But they're talking about all those things. Well, did those things happen before she was born again? How many of us how many of us have not sinned?
That's
like the blood of Jesus cleanses us
and from all things.
If she's cleansed and she has conviction in her heart, well, you know, we would not marry anyone in our church that wanted to come in there and they were gay. We would not do that.
Nope.
I don't care what anybody says. We have to follow our heart. We have to follow the Word of God.
The Word of God.
The Word of God is higher than any law that anyone can make in any nation, any country.
You got it.
You know, in America, anywhere else, the Word of God has to be first. And it was established, our nation was established on the Word of God. We have turned away from God. Our nation has turned away from God. When you make same-sex marriage legal, the government does that. You know, people go out and do that on their own.
Higher
that's
judgment.
One thing, but it's a much higher judgment when it comes from the nation, the head of the nation, and they make it legal. Then when they make things legal that come against what God says, then you know what? We have to obey God.
That's right.
We have to obey God. And whether she sinned, and the Bible says, who hasn't sinned?
That's
we've
right.
all sinned and missed the glory of God. You know, and somebody say, well, if she had been a perfect person, this might be okay. No, so none of us are perfect. There's none righteous. The Bible says there's none righteous. But, you know, and we've all sinned. But, you know, when did she get born again? Did she get born again after these things?
Well,
whatever.
Know.
But, you know, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And so we have to follow, if we're following the Word of God, we're not going to obey something that comes against God's Word.
Right.
We can't obey.
It shows you the ignorance of the news media. They have no clue.
No, and Christians don't either.
Nope.
Many Christians don't either. They talk about her faults.
Right.
Well,
what about theirs?
What about their own faults?
That's right.
Everyone has sinned. No one is perfect. No one has not sinned. But, you know, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from, and she has to, and we do have to follow our conscience.
Sure do.
Because, you know, the Bible talks about your conscience can be seared. So I'm not going to put my name on some marriage certificate, and we'd have to put our name on. When we marry somebody, we have to sign it. We have to put our name on it.
You have to sign the license,
you know, and I'm sorry for even some of the marriages that we've done, because maybe they haven't had enough counseling. Maybe they haven't had enough time to, you know, maybe it was too quickly. Maybe
that's right.
We did it out of convenience because it was a friend. I think about way back, you know, we had from people in our church, and the young girl, she got pregnant, and so they asked us to marry him. Well, you know, just because you get pregnant doesn't mean you need to marry the guy, because they didn't stay married not even a year.
Not long.
So,
yeah,
you know, that was, to me, I think it was a mistake. We should have counseled them more, and we should have just suggested that she would either keep the baby, give the baby away, but that's not the reason to get married unless God has called you to be married to this certain person, you know? So we're going to answer for everything we've done. We're going to, you know, and when we go to heaven, there's going to be an answering for those things that were done that are going to stand, that will stay, like gold and silver and
precious stones.
But the stuff like that we did was wrong after we're born again is going to burn up.
That's right.
It's going to burn up. But our sin, we're forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. The
That's
Bible
right.
says God doesn't remember. Our sin is as far from the east to the west.
He will bring it up no more.
No more.
If
no
we're
more.
Sincere with him. That's right.
That's right. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So there's so much controversy going on about what's right and what's wrong. Well, if we get back to the Bible, the Word of God, we would know what's right
we'll
and
know what's
wrong.
Right and what's
but
wrong.
It says that those things are going to be happening. And
That's
we can
right.
see it's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Going to be like Noah. Well, we can look at these things, and it's like that now. But it's going to get even more so. It's going to get worse. And when the church is caught away, all hell could happen. I mean, there won't be anything to
be
hold
incredible.
Back.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit will still be here to draw people to the Lord. But, you know, many, many people are going to die.
The restraining force will be gone, which is
and
us.
Many people are going to give in
That's
to the
right.
world, and they're going to take the mark of the beast because they want to feed their children or
right.
they want to have food on their table.
They'll compromise.
Or they don't want to be put in prison.
That's
or
right.
they don't want to die.
Right. Donna's talking about marriage. You know, we don't marry anybody, and we've been like this for a lot of years now. If they won't go through our 16 weeks of counseling, well, then we're not going to marry them.
That's right.
And a lot of times when you go through that, you realize, hey, you know, you find out what your responsibility is in the marriage, the man and the woman. Well, you might say, well, I'm not going to get married, okay? But they need to know that. And so they jump into things, and they have problems. And we've had that happen many times. Well, I don't want to go through that. So they went and got married someplace else, and they got problems now.
We don't have, nobody can make us marry somebody.
That's right.
Nobody can make you do anything.
That's right.
You know, we have a choice. God gives us a choice. He says, here's the word. Okay, give you a choice. You know, we read the Torah portions, and we've come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And I just read the last couple chapters, and it's so sad because God tells him, he's telling Moses, they're going to go back. They're going to fall away. They're going to fall away. They're going to worship idols. They're going to go back to their
old ways.
They're going to go back.
That's right.
And so can you think about dear sweet Moses going through all those years of leading them through the, going all Egypt and all the 40 years in the wilderness, and getting to see the promised land from the mountaintop, and then knowing in the last couple chapters God says they're going to fall away.
That's right.
Imagine how his heart must have felt.
Sure.
I mean, it's like a child. You bring up a child and you teach them the right way, and then all of a sudden they're going to fall away.
That's right.
They're going to go and
do their own thing.
They're going to go and do what they want to do.
That's
they're
right.
going to take on a devil or a demon.
That's right.
And they're going to fall away from God.
So Moses passed his anointing on to Joshua, and you read the Bible. After while Joshua was on the earth, they did pretty well. But after him, they went back to their old ways, just like God told Moses way back.
And how did he feel about his children? Those were like his children.
That's right. He loved
all those children.
Sure.
You know, many of them were born during that time in the wilderness.
That's right.
And you know, you talk about to people, especially parents that love the Lord, and their child goes astray, or they get involved with the wrong thing, and they turn away from God.
That's right.
You know, it breaks somebody's heart.
Sure
but,
does.
But if I believe that we can pray, and there's always hope that they would come back, that they would return, and they would forsake their sin, and they would come back and return to the Lord. God is so good. He's got his mercy. Bible says his mercy endures forever to many,
That's
many
right.
generations. And so God is always calling people to return. And we're in this time of teshuva,
yep.
which means to return. Return what? Before I come out and get you. You know, if you don't return, if you don't turn back and come back to me, the
you're
Lord says,
gonna go.
You're not going to go.
That's right.
That day of blowing the trumpets, that Rosh Hashanah is going to happen. That catching away is going to happen, and you're going to be left.
That's right. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures here before we close. We're down to about 6 minutes. This is in John chapter 3. If you're at home, if not, you can write the verses down and look at it yourself.
Thank you, Lord. I'm getting carried away here.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Rosh Hashanah. 1 of 2 days.
I'm going to start in verse 33. It says, "He that receiveth his testimony," talking about John the Baptist's testimony about who? About Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
"has set his seal that God is true."
Yes.
You know, and then it says, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." To who's the him? Mm-hmm. To Yeshua. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." Now here's the key verse. Listen to this. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And believe there means to trust, rely, depend upon in every arena, okay? "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Isn't that incredible? So until they come to Yeshua, the wrath of God abides on. Think about all the people in America that don't know the Lord. They're shaking their fist at him, and they don't believe that God exists and all that. The wrath of God is resting on them, and when they die, it's going to be all over unless they change their heart and they come and accept Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, into their heart, and he'll change their lives. He did it for me. He did it for Pastor Donna. He did it for all of you listening on the radio right now that know the Lord and you're walking with him day by day. It's a continual walk. And I'll say this, being a born-again Christian is a disciplined walk. It's not a sloppy walk. When I was in the military, I had to obey the things that I was told to do and all that. If not, I got court-martialed, and I could have got a dishonorable discharge or a bad conduct discharge, but I got an honorable discharge because I did that. Well, you're in the army of God, so we got to remember that. You have to obey what he tells you to do. And so this walk that we have with the Lord, it truly is a disciplined walk to put these words in your heart and to follow those and walk with the Lord. That's what it's all about. And so many Christians haven't even read the entire Bible. So how can they know what God says about all these things? They don't. And so they do what the world says. You know, we got so many couples today living together that are not married. Well, the Bible says that's you're committing fornication. That's a sin in God's eyes. But they do it. And they don't realize that it's a sin in God's eyes. But if they could just get into the Bible and realize that it's wrong, well, then they could get away from that, separate, if they're in love, separate for a little bit, ask God to forgive them, and then get married. But see, people don't want to do that. They want to do their way. They don't want to make any commitments to anybody or anything. Remember, coming to Yeshua, basam, rum, bikisam, tadam, it's a commitment for life. You know, we're in the army of God. There's no discharge in this army. It's a commitment for life. We get married, it's supposed to be a commitment for life. Amen. I married my wife 54 years ago, and I wasn't born again then, but I remember the vows that I said, and I spoke those before God and didn't even realize it till later, but I'm keeping those vows with her because she's the love of my life, and I'm hanging on to her regardless. And so this is what we have to learn how to do. We have to be obedient, and it means to make a commitment to the Lord that you're sold out.
It's a heart thing.
It's a heart thing on there, and that's what Yeshua came to do. He came to change the heart. That's what he came to do.
Amen.
So it is a heart thing. And so we have to understand that it's an important walk. It's the most important decision you'll ever make, you that are listening on the radio. If you've never asked him to come into your life, this is the day to do it. Maybe the Lord's going to come in these next couple of days. You might be left on this earth and go through this terrible time called Jacob's trouble. All we have to do is ask him to come in. Believe that he's your Savior. Ask him to come in, and he'll take over your life. And there's going to be something fresh
repent.
And new. You'll know it right away. There's something different because you're going to repent of all of your sins. You can't remember everything.
And people could say, well, I can't. It's too many things.
Yeah.
Think about the man on the cross next to Jesus.
That's right.
He had lots and lots of sin.
Yeah.
But he called unto God. He called unto Jesus. He said, remember me. And Jesus told him, this day you will be with me. This day, so you know it. It's immediate.
That's right. It's a spiritual thing. Yeah.
Your heart. If the heart gets right, it's immediate.
That's
right. And you know, God knows all those things, and you just ask for forgiveness. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and this hour went by so quickly. You can listen to this again on the internet, WCNO.com. Just go to Saturday, and you can listen to us Raising the Standard, 12:00 noon. And we're blessed to be here. We have classes this afternoon at 4:00.
Come and be blessed.
Come and be blessed. You'll just get more of the same. More and more and more of the same. Maybe
all about Yeshua. Yeah.
All about Yeshua. And then also tomorrow on Sunday we'll have 10:00. We come get together to worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
And we release that spirit of prophecy in our services. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007, and we are in Stuart, Florida.
Amen. So, you know, we talked about the commentary, the book up front. If you want that, just give us a check, make a special offering to us for $25 plus $3 for shipping and handling, and we'll mail it out to you, and you'll find out all the things that you've been robbed of by the church over the years. This has been taken out of our lives. This should be in our lives, and the truth behind all of it.
And we have them at church, too.
That's right. And when you know the truth, it's going to make you free. So as we close this program, everyone, we love you. That's why we're on this program. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ to bring the people to a new place to understand the depth that they have and the purpose and the plan that God has for our life. You all have a purpose and a destiny. So as we close every week, we tell you that we love you.
Look up.
Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.